Picture a high school junior running track practice with her eyes closed. Not metaphorically, literally. Molly, surviving on 5 hours of sleep while juggling varsity sports and AP classes, had become so exhausted that she'd learned to run without seeing. This haunting image captures something deeply wrong in communities we've convinced ourselves offer children the best life has to offer. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Students in high-achieving schools now share a disturbing classification with children living in poverty and facing discrimination. They're both considered statistically at-risk youth. Since 2009, persistent sadness among high schoolers has jumped 40%. Anxiety and depression have become the background noise of adolescents in America's most privileged zip codes. We've created a paradox where the very advantages we're killing ourselves to provide are the things making our children sick. Amanda received early acceptance to an elite university, but spent that weekend secretly drinking vodka to numb a desperation she couldn't name. In her affluent West Coast town, school shifted from curiosity to college preparation in seventh grade. Her schedule became punishing. Year-round sports, service clubs, AP classes with no room for error. Her parents' pressure was insidious. You're not fulfilling your potential after every B. Perfection extended beyond grades to appearance, homes, vacations, all while looking effortless. By junior year, anxiety kept her awake. She skipped classes to play piano, her only escape. Depression brought an eating disorder, yet she maintained straight A's while drinking until blackout on weekends. After college, her work hard, play hard mentality followed her to advertising, where cocaine joined the mix. Standing at the edge one night, she finally understood. All my life, I felt I had to be perfect or people wouldn't love me. When researchers Sunia Luthar studied affluent teens in the 1990s, she expected resilience. Instead, these privileged kids showed higher rates of substance abuse and depression than inner-city peers. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation now ranks excessive pressure to excel alongside poverty and trauma as conditions most harmful to adolescent wellness. The pressure is everywhere. Youth sports have become a $20 billion industry, pushing early specialization despite mounting injury risks. In New Jersey, student athletes made heartbreakingly modest requests, one mandatory day off per week to sleep, catch up on homework, and see their families. Children now formally request permission to rest. School administrators feel the squeeze too. One elementary principal canceled a kindergarten talent show to focus on college and career readiness for five-year-olds. Honor societies now exist for elementary students. Sports rankings start in fourth grade. Catherine, a mother in a high-achieving New York suburb, watched herself transform when her son reached middle school. "I went from just being his mom to being totally focused on how he was performing," she recalled. "Every interaction became about grades and college admissions. The pressure eventually broke him. He stopped attending school and barely graduated. Though he initially got into college, he flunked out due to depression and anxiety. Now, in his late 20s, he's finally graduating from a local college. Looking back, Catherine barely recognizes the person she became." When the FBI charged celebrities in Operation Varsity Blues, Felicity Huffman's justification exposed parental anxiety. "In my desperation to be a good mother, I talked myself into believing that all I was doing was giving my daughter a fair shot." Her daughter's response cut deep. "Why didn't you believe in me?" While extreme, this desperation was uncomfortably familiar. Parents confessed hiring tutors for successful students, enrolling children in summer prep courses, and even taking anxiety medication during admission season. Status matters profoundly to our brains. It's evolutionary wiring we can't override. Our ancestors' survival depended on status for food, shelter, and mates. Today, this drives parental obsession over college admissions. America's opportunity narrative increasingly contradicts reality. Children born in the 1980s have just 50% chance of out-earning parents versus 90% for those born in 1940. This scarcity triggers an evolutionary response that makes parents controlling and protective. Without robust safety nets, American parents create individualized safety nets through micromanaged education and specialized tutoring. Rebecca, a clinical psychologist, pulled over crying after her daughter's kindergarten meeting. Despite understanding standardized tests' limitations, her daughter's average score unleashed all the pressure from her own childhood. She realized that if she didn't control her parenting anxieties, they would control her children. Today's children face a tyranny of metrics, where exceptional constantly escalates. One student dismissed his nearly straight-A report card as just average excellence. Research shows unrealistic expectations on young adults have increased 33% over 40 years. Morris Rosenberg first studied mattering in the 1980s, finding that students who felt they mattered to parents had higher self-esteem and lower depression. Mattering means feeling seen, cared for, and understood. It protects against stress, anxiety, depression, and loneliness. Despite loving efforts, many children don't feel unconditionally valued. Over 70% of young adults believed parents valued them more when successful. Over 50% thought parents loved them more when successful. When parental love feels conditional, children develop a false self, an artificial persona to earn love. While appearing successful, these children harbor deep shame about not feeling lovable as they truly are. Psychologist Madeline Levine distinguishes between good warmth, genuine acceptance, and bad warmth, conditional over-involvement. Rather than criticizing underperforming children, parents should get curious about underlying issues. One mother discovered that focusing on her son Jake's work habits rather than grades and maintaining positive interactions dramatically improved both their relationship and his performance. Children feel they matter by being deeply known as individuals. Harvard's Richard Weisbord notes that the self becomes stronger and more mature less by being praised and more by being known. Parents can become strength spotters, identifying natural gifts rather than fixating on weaknesses. Small micro practices matter most, greeting children with unabashed joy or offering physical affection. When Jennifer's daughter Caroline worried about report cards, Jennifer crossed out "your worth equals your grades" on a post-it and wrote, "My love for you never changes." Parents must model mattering themselves. Exhausting yourself while neglecting your needs demonstrates you don't believe you matter, contradicting your message to children. What mothers truly need isn't me time, but rich, authentic relationships that buffer stress and regulate emotions. In affluent communities where two-thirds of adults hold college degrees and incomes average $120,000, children face immense pressure to replicate their parents' success. When Andrew wanted to double up on AP science classes despite his packed schedule, his parents refused, believing their role was to take the kettle off the heat. In hyper-competitive cultures, children need adults who provide an emergency exit from toxic achievement pressure. One mother enrolled her anxious daughter in a semester-long wilderness school in Maine, where she lived simply in a cabin, doing farm chores and building genuine connections. At the heart of grind culture lies the belief that a good life requires admission to a good college. Yet college rankings are deeply flawed. 20% comes from pure reputation, essentially measuring prestige, not quality. Research shows little correlation between attending prestigious colleges and life satisfaction. For achievement-oriented teens, rest feels like a luxury they can't afford. Yet research on elite musicians shows deliberate rest is as crucial as deliberate practice. Despite fewer than 25% of teens getting recommended sleep, those who do report the lowest levels of anxiety and depression. We cannot matter alone. We need social proof from others who insist on our value. The greatest gift we can give our children isn't admission to an elite college. It's the unshakable knowledge that they matter exactly as they are.